Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chami, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Sweet, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Shombe from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And it's that time of the evening that we look at the business affairs, economic development, and indeed everything that affects our bread and butter. We discuss everything on policy making, policy planning, implementation, and monitoring and evaluation. To say the aim is to make sure that we move Namibia where it needs to go. We look ahead in 2030. We see what you are doing today, the posture that you are presenting, the activities that you are doing. Are they in line with national development priorities? Are you moving toward 2030 with where Namibia wants to go? Are you moving toward Agenda 2063? And you know, there is a lot of things going on. And we are always indicating to you to say at this platform, whatever is happening, make sure that you put everything in line. Stay calm and let us look at the bigger picture. And somebody may be want to ask, what is the bigger picture? The bigger picture is success. The bigger picture is economic inequality. The bigger picture is good governance. And the bigger picture is stable, peaceful governance, peaceful government, and people who enjoy happiness and have positive thinking about life. Do you know that it's your right to be happy? Do you know that the state is responsible to make sure that you reach what is called utopia, to make sure that you are very happy, to make sure that you are happy? Because happiness is not only about you hearing something which is of humor, then you start laughing, because everybody can laugh, but they are not happy. But what is happiness according to international standard, especially based on development, and sociologists will be able to tell you this, to say happiness of an individual, particularly in a developed country, is based on that individual ability to achieve the basic needs, such as clean water is non-negotiable. I should not say that people should not celebrate when they get clean water. I also should not say people should not praise the bird for flying. But provision of clean water, quality education, basic affordable healthcare, roads and infrastructure, a clean environment, those are some of the basic needs that an individual must have. And also security. Security matters, particularly at the current point that we have. You must be able to be protected. That is why we are saying at this platform, when we are discussing those issues, try to look at where are you standing in Namibia? Are you happy? If you are not happy, what is that that needs to be done? What is your contribution to overall happiness? What can be done by the state, by the private sector, by faith-based institution, and everybody who is involved in development of the country? And when we speak about issues of developmental standard, we must be able to set the standard to say this is where Namibia has to go. That's why today we are going to look at some of the key issues, especially on education matters. We see that the results are out, and somebody has indicated today to say we have underestimated AMA 2000. We have underestimated those who were born from 2000 onward. We have underestimated what is called Generation Z, because they made us proud. They made us proud, especially looking at the results. And I was reading one thesis that really touched me. It's an MBA on natural resource management. And that is it was conducted at University of Namibia. But what the author have stated touched me to say, Kavango East being a region with, More than 50% of the green schemes in Namibia continue to be poor. But you know what it is? It's also shocking to say, as Nelson Mandela said, that education is the greatest key to success, or is a weapon that you can use to fight poverty. Be able to say that as we are speaking now, the children from Kavango is they have showed us frames, and they have showed that they are able. They have showed that they are able. And those are things that we have to discuss also to say quality education, ability to perform, ability to perform under difficult circumstances, outperforming Windhoek Commerce region, outperforming every other region, then we must say we need to discuss really the future of these children. We need to discuss really not the future of children from Kavango East, but the future of Namibian who are entering tertiary institutions. Namibians who are entering tertiary institutions, we must discuss the future of these children. And we must also discuss the subsidization of education. There must be clarity. Things must be clarified to say, if we meet what we have been fighting for, what activists of Fees Must Fall have been pronouncing to say, Fees Must Fall, every young African child who qualified to go to university must be funded. We must be able to clarify that. And maybe moving into the future is also a time that parents too, I see that parents are now more engaged when it's coming to the education of their children, either it's from primary level or at high institution level. Parents too must engage the government. This is the time that we need to speak to say more funding must be placed at quality education. And why should somebody who have and it's a matter of asking a question to say, if I qualified to attend university, why do we have a threshold in terms of subsidization of education? There should not be a threshold, because if I'm able to enter university though, there is no discrimination there. Because what is interesting is that And I find it very interesting, whether you did high level, at that time we were doing high level and ordinary level, then you applied for a certain course, you are going to sit in the same lecture hall, because there the plane is leveled. You are going to sit in the same lecture hall. Whether you are coming from mature age entry, whether you are coming from the field, whether you have standard 10, you are going to sit in the same lecture hall, and their competition will start. But when it comes to subsidization, I just really think it's quite crucial for us, especially young people, especially the students of today, especially student leaders, to continue engaging on this matter, especially when it comes to subsidized education. We must continue expanding this conversation to say, okay, the government, we have heard you. We understood where you are coming from. However, let's think about those who have pushed and enter university doors, because the university ranking is saying you meet the requirements. But when it comes to subsidization, there's a threshold. Why should I have a threshold? Is there also a threshold when it's coming to the job market? Because, you know, one thing I have seen is that through my few years at university, I realized to say, when learners become students at university, at tertiary institution, they realize the quality of life. Doors start opening for them. They become very competitive. And we erase this thing that we are always saying to say university will test you. Those who got 40 points, 42 points, and somebody who got 25 in 5 at that time, and they see in English, this person will lead the class academically, even practically in the field, because you realize to say a tertiary institution is a different level. Maybe now is the time to say, for us to fight poverty in Namibia, the discussion of free education must be extended, that the children have proved themselves. We used to call the Mamba 2000. They shocked us. And I will look at some of the key records, especially presented today when it comes to the results of ordinary level and also AS level, especially looking in the context of Namibia. And also really to say, in this context, young people have showed that they are able to do it. It's now the government, the private sector, and the key institution also to come on the table and see what is the future of Namibia going to look like. And I'm very happy to look at those results, and also not only to praise those who have passed, but also to motivate those who did not make it. Because now the issue of discussion is how are we going to deal with those who have passed, but we also need to deal with those who did not make it. So, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is a business and economic segment with me, David Shombe. And just before we go to the main conversation for today, there is an ongoing issue of migration. And when you have been reading the statistics of people migrating, people leaving, the continent, we also realize to say, it's not only in the Gambia, it's not only in Senegal, it's not only in Mozambique, it's not only in Senegal. You realize to say, you also find that people, Namibians, they also become victim of human trafficking, and there is a scary thing, especially which have happened. Because of young Namibians who find themselves in the Middle East there, find themselves also out of Africa, and who have also find themselves lured by some of the syndicates, especially who find themselves in Myanmar, in Thailand, and became victims of human trafficking. Then there's a statement here from the Ministry of International Relations and Trade, and it was released to give an update to really say what was happening, especially when it's coming to a phase of human trafficking. So it stated that the Ministry of International Relations and Trade wished to provide formal update regarding the ongoing situation involving Namibian nationals who are entangled in fraudulent activities and operate and exploitative networks operating within Myanmar and Thailand. And looking at this context, you will be shocked because some of these young Namibians have found themselves in Thailand after fake online recruitment, and it is stated that the ministry is working together with the International Organization for Migration in order to make sure that those Namibians who became the victim of trafficking come back at home. You know, interestingly, especially when you are looking at this media statement, especially from the Ministry of International Relations and Trade, you will be able to see that it's 24 Namibian nationals identified as being caught in these circumstances. And looking into this aspect is that the ministry is working together with Interpol and also International Organization for Migration to make sure that these people are returned back home. And sometimes you can say it's desperation. Sometimes you can say it's desperation. But sometimes you can also say it's circumstances. Because if you are receiving those texts, those emails that are saying, come so that we give you an opportunity, come so that we give you jobs. They show you pictures of Cristiano Ronaldo there. They show you pictures of people who succeed. And there's also one thing about that we also need to put in mind, especially Namibians who are abroad or Africans who are abroad. They don't really give right information to people. They don't really give right information to people, because if you look at the trends of development, even in UK itself, we have poor people. We have struggling young people. Even in the US, you have beggars. You have qualified people with qualification. They are beggars. You have people who are suffering out there. But you must also put this thing in mind, especially when something is too good to be true. You think that person was just giving you $50,000. Do you know him? Does he or she not have friends and families? We must think about this thing. And the ministry is also aging, and it's also aging Namibians to be very careful. It's aging Namibians to be very, very careful, especially when it comes to issues of migration and also issues of ending up becoming victim of human trafficking. Because when you become victim of human trafficking, you end up, you know, not to say you end up regretting, but sometimes you end up lost. Sometimes you end up losing your path. These are real things. And sometimes you end up being used for prostitution. You become a drug mule and many other things. If people confiscate your passport, then you end up lost. That's why ask yourself this question. What are the statistics saying about people who are lost outside with the aim of going to get opportunities? And maybe it's also a wake-up call to the Namibian government, together with the private sector, to say prioritization of young people is not a matter of negotiation. It must be priority number one. And these people, they are not leaving Namibia because they don't love Namibia. And some of these people, they have qualifications. They have qualifications and they want to go and at least make a living. But because a desperate person is easy to manipulate, these people end up really being shocked. Now imagine somebody who find himself in Thailand, maybe surrounded by a criminal syndicate. Even if that person tomorrow get the real opportunity to go to Canada or to go to UK or even to Thailand again with a scholarship, this person will not want to go. There's also an aspect of anxiety. That is why it's quite very important to address these things. When our Angolan counterparts are coming to Namibia asking for us dollars at the robots, it's poverty at home. When people are leaving Namibia, it's poverty at home. But what can we do to the generation that need to work? Because it's undeniable, and statistics have shown that at any point in time, it's only in Africa where you have to find majority of young people. The population of Africa, almost 70% are young people. And do they have opportunity? Are they part of the dinner table? Are we putting real measures, or we are just speaking about putting real measures? And I think it's a wake-up call. It's not a good thing, but it's a wake-up call also for those who are able, who have economic means to expand and also promote better living of Namibians and also Africans. So that is part of what is happening, especially regarding Namibia and Namibia and global affairs. You know, we have been busy. We have been busy these days, especially looking at that aspect. However, what we are discussing today is results. We are looking at results. It was stated that Kavango East leads at AS progression, lead with 52.7. Yeah, and looking at these statistics, they will be able to tell you that when you look at Kavango East in terms of qualification to AS level, they are at number one. And when you look at records, especially when it comes to students who are top performers at ordinary level, and also you'll be able also to see that you can be able to see that number one, you have Mariana Kweode. It's a female, it's leading from Rukonga Vision School. Then you have Dacruz Manuel, that is a male from Konga Vision School. Then followed by, that is we speak about Kavango East, and it's quite very interesting. But when it comes to you know, AS level, you can also be able to realize that Kavango West has retained its position as a top performing region in the 2025 Senior Secondary Certificate Advanced Subsidiary or AS level examination. That is for full-time candidates, and followed by Hardap. Then you see number three from Sati. Then you have Hangwena from Maheke. You have Chuzunjupa, Chikoto, Kavango East, and Comas. Was it top, number nine? It's a capital city. But what is being indicated here is that expect them that is Kavango East and the West. And as it has been stated, it's quite very crucial, especially at, when we are at the beginning of the year, to make sure that when it comes to advancement in terms of education performance, you will be able to realize that this year performance compared to last year, there is a huge improvement, because even the minister, that is Dr. Sanet Steenkamp, said that the result will encourage a trend despite shift in candidate numbers. And there's an increase in part-time, there's a 9.8% increase in part-time candidates, while full-time has shown a bit of a decline. But when you look at the percentage of qualifying students from NSCO ordinary level to NSCAS level, see that there's an increment of 29.5%, almost 30%. That is in 2024 to 36% in 2025. Then you'll be able to see that although there is a situation of unemployment, there's a situation of inequality, Namibian young people are taking their education serious. And maybe it's also the time to thank the teachers and educators to say, if we expand more, if we invest more, maybe if we handle this properly, maybe education will bear fruitful results that will not only be on paper, but on the industries that we are going to see in the future, on the buildings that we are going to be in the future, on the roads infrastructure that we are going to use in the future. Maybe smart trains will come. But now the question and the discussion for today is that what is the education system? Is the high education system ready to absorb those who made it at AS level and also those who made it at ordinary level, especially when it comes to advancing their education? And when it comes to that, at what level? And the point I want us to discuss, and this is a point which need to be debated, and is a questions, is these are some of the questions that you need to ask yourself to say, why should somebody qualify to attend a course at university, to attend a course at a college, but this person did not qualify to be funded by the state? What does it mean? Why a person qualified to attend a course at university and is not qualified because of the threshold which is given? Because the debate should be, university admission should automatically mean you are qualified to be funded if you don't have enough to fund yourself. University admission should be, and there should be no negotiation to say, if you reach admission to go to university, it means that you can perform, you become a professional in that area. You become a professional in that area. Because the moment you enter university, it should mean that you are qualified to be funded. Maybe it's the right time now that the engagement, the discussion should be expanded with the youth activists. And I don't think it's going to be a very difficult thing, especially when you have an understandable and listening government that has prioritize young people. And maybe it's now the right time to discuss and negotiate to say, if somebody qualified to go to university to attend a course, the person automatically should be funded. And that is the end. With that, we must find a way and a mechanism on not debating to say, is it subsidized education, is it free education, or is it only some people? Because if the money is there, money should be invested in education. Because if you look at what made Cuba a force to be reckoned with, because imagine surviving sanctions for 60 years, economic sanctions, but you believe in yourself, in your capacity. Cuba was trading human capital on an international market, was exchanging to say, give me this, I'll give you people that I train very well. Because when we speak about human capital, equality and advanced human capital, it's not only for employment, but it's also to assist those who are in need. If we have a lot of qualified teachers, we can even outsource them to go and teach a SADC level, to go and do research at SADC level, to become the backbone in UNESCO. I don't know now when things are, when that the Trump is cutting the fundings. But the point of argument here is that we must be able to think beyond the obvious. And it's my wish, especially from the area of youth and development area, to say that those who were able to make it, and I can feel that if you go through pain, if you go through challenges, if you do not have a backup, you become plan A, plan B, and C. And what you hold is what you use to fight what is in front of you. It has been shown here. Kavango East and Kavango West. Some of these children, we have seen them being taught under the trees. But they say, no, it's not going to happen, not now. And they are dominating. There is no negotiation about that. Maybe it's also the right time to put down these children, to make sure that everybody who made it to university, there must be a way of funding. I see, which I've never seen before, and I think we are at the right moment also, because if you look at the bursaries which are being offered, if you look at the graduate developmental program which are being offered, in those years I only used to see this thing given by commercial banks and few institutions. But when you move around Namibia and you see advertisement, there's nothing which make me happy than an advertisement of a graduate development program. To say from university, with this qualification, come here, we train you for 8 months or 1 year. We recruit you, or we train you for another opportunities. And because these are some of the things we should become normal. And it's my wish that those who made it should get placement at university and should get fundings, because we are really at a very interesting time. Because if we can be able to survive, you know, the tested curriculum that did not come, or we did not start on a good note, especially after the contradiction at the beginning of, you know, the taking off of the curriculum, where there was a lot of contradiction, there was a lot of misunderstanding. But for now that we have young people, especially those that we call born after 2000 and the Generation Z, who are leading this academic frontier. And it's going to be interesting, because looking at the numbers, looking at the years, this will be the first generation of 2030. That are going to graduate in 2030. This will be the first generation of young professionals of 2030, especially looking at the calculation, whether you are studying for 4 years, whether you are studying for 5 years or 7 years, you will be the first generation of young professionals of 2030. And it's going to be a very interesting time to be alive and watch what will happen. Now, what need to be done moving forward? What need to be done moving forward? There is still a lot of discussion going on. There is still a lot of consultations. There is still a lot of ambiguity, especially when it comes to university, tertiary institutions, and also qualifications of students, especially for funding. And there is still a lot of views, especially regarding how many of those who are going to become beneficiaries of the fundings. And experiencing being funded by Namibia Financial Student Assistance Fund, that time when we were at university, we were lucky enough to meet what was put there as a threshold. they say 25 in 5, say in English, you go to university, mm-hmm. you go to college, you go to, you know, a training center and all these things. But I also felt the pain, especially when I was at university, to those who were in the same program, but they are not really funded because they push through various means to get into that class. Because somebody have done a certificate, somebody has been working maybe for 3 years, then a person go through mature age entry, then a person end up now admitted to a program, but this person is still struggling to fund himself because of the threshold. But if you want really to make Namibia great for the future, you must remove this thing of saying you must meet certain requirements, because the requirement of funding should be the requirement of entrance, because academician who set up entry requirement, they can already see that if this guy has, let me say, 18 points and an E in English, or 22 points and a D in English, this person can be able to do a diploma. You can have your 25 point and a C in English, or 27 and a C and all the requirements. But you are still in the same program. If you are doing the same program, this person can even graduate first than you. But maybe now is a task that we need to give to the activist of education, to see that your job is not done. Your job is really not done. We must make sure that no young people should go back home if you are able to go to tertiary education, to go to university. And also see that, yes, we must look that not only those who pass today who are going to give pressure to the state. Remember that from April there, in May, universities and colleges are going to graduate again. Offload in a job market. And the question that you're asking yourself to say, NPA, are you ready? Do you have your data in order? Do you have your data in order? If you have your data in order, how are you going to deal with the numbers of young people again who are going to come from universities? I've seen people attending interview, 800 people for 2 to 3 posts. What does it mean? What does it mean? It means that when you are using common sense, apart from now looking at the framework of HR, which is there to say everybody who applies should be called, when you are looking at that in literal sense to say you have 4 positions, then you are calling 800 people for interview. That is a matter of fairness. But it's not economic. It's not economic, because do you know how much money is used to come for interview all those people? How much money is used? Because we're in a crisis. All those 800 people, maybe 70% of those people, they have borrowed money to travel for food. And if you put that money together, how much money could have been saved? But this situation can only be handled if we have good data, we have numbers, and we are talking to each other. When we are talking to each other, I mean institutions. When you are talking to each other, I mean parents, stakeholders, faith-based institutions. It's also now the time, I don't see it. I don't know why. During the liberation struggle, we were not there, and the records are indicating to us, and there is evidence to say faith-based institutions played a crucial role in sending a lot of people to study, either abroad or within. They gave scholarships. But you're also asking yourself a question to say, if faith-based institutions, with much respect, are responsible to make sure that they give us spiritual guidance and our life is in order, what tangible thing are they also giving to us? Because missionary schools produce teachers those days. Missionary schools were the best universities at that time. But faith-based institutions, apart from doing what they do, apart from finding the challenges that we go through, do they also assist people to go to higher institutions? Go and ask where you congregate and say, can you kindly assist me? No, not go there for the fake asking, but go there and ask when you need help. And also understand to say, at least if we give you money, at least give that responsibility to the community. Because in the situation that we are in, everybody should play a role. The pastor should play a role in my education. Not only to give spiritual guidance, if he has money, he must give me. Because I also give to the congregation. And it's quite a very controversial thing, but compared to how it has been, a lot of people have benefited from missionary schools. A lot of people have benefited from missionary schools. But it's also now a time to say the situation on the ground is not conducive. You are seeing like you have 24 young Namibians who are stuck in Thailand there because they are looking for employment. They are lured. They are looking for opportunities. To say the situation on the ground is not conducive and the Namibian economy, as you are speaking, cannot feed us all without other interventions which have been given. That is why, especially when we are celebrating those who did make it today, we must be able to ask that critical question of what need to be done moving forward to make sure that my people from Kavango East and West, my people from Umsati and all the regions who made it to the Tertiary Institution, no one should feel like they are not part of Namibia. And it's a very good foundation. We just need to sort out that thing of funding. We really need to sort out that thing of funding, because if we are able to maintain social grant, which is a good grant to assist our elders, the investment in education should be our last bullet that we should not negotiate. We should fire that bullet of saying, is education or nothing? It's education or nothing. And I just wish that that discussion of the threshold of funding should really be removed, so that people can prove themselves, so that somebody from Kaisosi can be able to become a professor, so that somebody from Omageti, Kamatapati, and somebody from the farm in Kietman, in corridors of farm in Kietman, can be able to become an educator, a doctor, a lawyer, a politician with content and context, not only a politician, because that is the only opportunity which is there, but it's a servant who is educated, enlightened, and can be able to change lives. You know, I did not know until I knew, I think it's around 2021, I traveled to the southern part of Namibia, and we went to a farm, and I was asking myself to say, man, David, what is happening? It's a farm, it's a school, it's a bit of a village, but the farm is owned by a person. Then I said, no, I think I misunderstood things. And I also started realizing to say, sometimes when December we are saying we are going home and other people are not going home, Vendug is their only place, or the town that they are living in their own place. That is really true. Because colonialism has done us damage, that people are still living in corridors of farms. People are still living in corridors of farms, we are speaking now. But who is going to remove those people from corridors of farms in the southern part of Namibia? It's education. But now children have proved themselves that they are not only Kwaito Kwaitos. They are not only superstars who are smoking hubbly bubbly, but they are also academically gifted and they can prove themselves. Now that they did what is expected from them, can the institutions or the state hold their end of the bargaining? Or their end of the bargain? Can they do that? Because imagine that an individual is, you only have one child. Then this person got 22 points and a D in English. And this person just managed to qualify to do a diploma at college, at university. You are still being pressured to say, no, this person must go and end or must go and improve until the person meet the threshold. But it's my only child. It's my only bullet. Why can't you fund this person so that this person can be able to get the qualification? Maybe better knowledge. Maybe more skills. Maybe more connections. Maybe so that this person can be able to upgrade my village. That's why today we are saying the meta threshold must and it has to be renegotiated so that those who qualified must compete again at the same level without any barrier. Because if I qualify for the program, the funding must come automatically. And that's going to do us justice, because when you have more educated people, you have more ideas which will come about. When people started debating, when young people start debating on social media, and it's a very good and it's a very beautiful thing when you see people debate about politics, about laws, about regulations, about accountability, you realize that you are moving toward advancement. We also start questioning ourselves about the way we do things. We also start questioning ourselves about, what needs to be done. Because if you understand what's happening around the world, if you understand investment, if you understand greenfield investment, if you understand that foreign direct investment does not only given to you because they want to develop you, but also because everybody also want to benefit from you. If you understand the quality of natural resources, then you'll be able to hold everybody accountable. Then development will come natural. Development will come natural. That's why the conversation should be expanded beyond the obvious. And when you expand the conversation beyond the obvious, then there is nothing to regret, really. Because we must be very proud of what our children have done, what our cousins have done, what our brothers and sisters have done, especially in the academic front. And also to give hope to the downtrodden, to give hope, to say, you can be at the village and you are the poor person, but if you have children and you take them to school, then that is the investment that you can have. And that is a guarantee of the future that you have. And the money is not going to limit you. So that is a conversation. For those of you coming on the radio for the first time, this is Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. Today we are expanding the conversation of education, threshold of funding, subsidization. Is it a subsidized education? Is it a half-funded education? Or is it a free tertiary education? And why the threshold? What is the impact of removing the threshold? Could it be that when you remove the threshold of funding, then it will remove completely burden of or the pressure that the parents are given, especially when they want to deal with funding of their children? Yeah, as we are continuing with business and economic segment, it's also something that we need to look at, especially looking in the future, especially when it's coming to the state investment, not only for the sake of education, but also for the future of building industries in Namibia. Because you must be able to understand that somebody who have planned about the future, especially in terms of the state, is going to be very easier for the generation to come, or the generation on the way, to be able also to navigate through. Because if we are always not looking at the foundation, or if we are always looking at ourselves and still setting the foundation, especially when it's coming to investment in education, investment in terms of the resources, then we are also going to find it very difficult, especially for those who are coming from behind us, because the aim of the first generation is to make sure that when the next generation come, it should not suffer the same way we have suffered. If we went to school under the trees, or if we went to school instead of carrying school bags, carrying plastics to put in books, this generation after us should also not suffer the same way. We should also be able to make sure that if the children went to school walking, maybe the next generation should start using bicycles to go to school. Or maybe the next generation should be in the hostel. If I was taught by black sheep at kindergarten, at the preschool, in der Rala at you know, primary school. The generation to come should not be taught the same thing. We must be innovative. We must find different ways. We must find different ways. Because when you do that, then it's going to be more easier for us to navigate through. I'm very happy about the richer wealth fund, especially when it's coming to investment of the future. But it's also important to look at this aspect to say when we are investing in the future, we must also not be able to leave a gap. We must also not be really able to leave a gap between where we are and the future. We must be able to fund the process. And how do you fund the process? You can only fund the process when you have a long-term plan of everything. If you have a long-term plan of the people who passed, though the results came out today, you also have a long-term plan of the people that are going to graduate in April, May, first, year graduations, and also those who are going to graduate by the end of this year. There must be a very good plan. And the same Ministry of Education should also be able to find another strategy of advancing the passing rate. Because although education should be a filtering process of allowing those who are able to perform academically and also those who can perform other intelligence level, we must be able to come to the point of having a plan too of not only teaching, but also planning about the future. That's why today at the business and economic segment, we must think beyond the obvious to say, okay, there are those who graduated. There are those who just passed now. There are those who graduated in 2019. There are those who graduated in 2021. And up to now, they are still looking for jobs. Up to now, they are still looking for, employment. What can we do about that? And we already taught that an angry generation, a generation which is feel like is neglected, is a very dangerous generation. That's why the future should not only be looking at far ahead, but we need to look at the problem that we are dealing with. To say, although parents are celebrating their children past, although guardians are celebrating their children who passed, the situation in the job market is difficult. The situation in the business sector is difficult. There are still bottlenecks when it comes to doing business. There are still challenges when it's coming to absorb those who are trained, those who graduated, those who got qualification that is required. That's why now you find it very difficult, because when you have investment that is not well calculated, investment in education, but there is no investment in the plan that should be there, especially post graduation, then it's also going to be investment into water, or that investment will take more time for it to prosper, or will not even prosper. That is why we need to make sure that that is a discussion which should be expanded. And also to academicians, especially 2026, we must go beyond the desktop study. We must go into the field. We must go and trace our students. Where are they? Where are your top performers as a professor of economics of trade? Where are your top performers? Where are your graduates? And conduct a study within a study that this year in my class of economics, in my class of trade, in my class of law, these are the numbers of students I have produced. Are you proud to go around the field and see the people that you have produced? And the question should not die in vain. The question of asking to say, why are majority of people who are employed are not the ones who have qualification? When are we going to get to that full transformation? when majority of the people who are able to move the system forward and fast are going to be integrated. Somebody made a joke about you know, a certain public figure who went to politics and came back and got former employment. Somebody made a joke to say, you guys have a lot of money, why can't you start businesses? You know, it's quite it's a person choice, number one. But number two, it's also making sense to say, at one point you were in parliament, and I'm not envying anybody, I'm just making a point. At one point we're in parliament, but after coming from parliament, we realized, no, I got this amount of money, we were saying people must get employment, why should you go back and get another employment? I know it's your right, but it's very difficult because you already have a foundation, you have connections. Why can't you start a business that can make more money? What is difficult? Have you done really well in within your role, that you made sure that the environment is so conducive? What about other people who do not have experience, who are also trying to get into the system? You must really ask these questions to say, if you are telling me to create an employment, how many have you created? Have you created your own too? That is a question that we should also all ask ourselves, because young people without experience, we must be able to be allowed to get experience, we must be able to be allowed to work and gain those experience, and also employ others. Because at the end of the day, the business setting must employ people to work into them. But yeah, that is the conversation and the discussions that we should have, especially when we discuss about the future, especially young people. Let us be solution driven, because I'm seeing this is also the time of envy, and it's also the time of people not being happy with other people's achievement, and this thing must die, and it must die a natural death in Namibia, especially when you are intimidated by somebody's child who performed very well. When you are intimidated by your friend who really worked hard and did very well, we must stop this thing. And when we stop it, it's easier for us to find a real productive discussion. Because the discussion should not be, he made it, why we did not make it. The discussion should be, how should we all make it? What can we learn? And let us find it in ourselves also to assist those in the assistance. Because what I've seen is also that sometimes absolute poverty can be a very dangerous thing, because you really find somebody who performed very well academically, but there is just no assistance at any level. There's just no assistance for this person. Even if this person is assisted to go to tertiary institution, there's just no maintenance of this person. That's why these people, some of them, they are gifted, they end up quitting university. That's why it's more than celebration, it's a responsibility and the reassurance to say Namibian young people are also able, they have answered the question to say, are you able? They are also able. And at this point, I want to indicate that I'm very proud, especially those that have been called AMA 2000. I'm very proud of you. And parents, especially parents and guardians, if your child did not make it, don't kill the child. I'm not saying in literal killing, but don't abandon children who did not make it. There's always a tomorrow. Find what they are able to do. Let us not give up on children who have not made it. Let us not isolate them. Let us not compare them with others. Because if we do that, we are already making a mistake. So it's also the time to uplift those who need upliftment. Because if you are a parent and you end up with your 5 children, nobody made it to AS level, nobody made it to university, then you want to beat all of them. You want to withdraw the fundings. You think you made a mistake. You start blaming them. You're blaming the system. But there is something that you are also not doing very well. Because it cannot be correct why the 5 children are not able to to make it. Yes, maybe they are not academically gifted, but what are they good at? Are you supporting their trend? Maybe they are singers. Maybe they are boxers. Maybe they are artists. Maybe they are athletes. Maybe they are good with football, but you want to be like another parent. And that is already a dangerous thing. That's why we need to make sure that we upgrade that conversation. And the message must be very clear, especially to those who made it, to say those who pass are not a threat to anybody, but they are the hope that Namibia has. And also those who failed are not weak. They are not, they should not be demotivated. They must be given a second chance and they must be assisted. And you must be a proud parent if you have a child who is willing to go back to school, who failed and willing to go back to school. Because if I have to tell you, failing and understanding the importance of failure, it's a very important thing. There is something that I don't speak about, but I'm very proud of it. I'm always telling people to see. If I could not fail grade 4, I wouldn't go to university, because from grade 4 I become an A student. But it's through that motivation, because sometimes you need to find out what is that you are able to do. And I'm very proud of that, to say even those who were ahead of me, I started catching up. But that is only a motivation to say we must also be teaching those who pass to say life is war. Challenges are still going to come. If you made it academically smoothly, life will still catch up with you. That's why as good parents, we must not be scared of teaching our children difficulties. But we must be there, because if somebody failed and the heart is shattered, dreams, they look like they are blocked, a person must be motivated. Person must be motivated, and it's a responsibility of everybody to make sure that children, those who failed, are motivated and go back to school or identify talent that they are able to pursue, because that is not the end of the world. Everybody can be able to make it in life, and it's a responsibility of everybody. And let us also not celebrate the failures of others. There's something wrong. I think there's something wrong with us that we need to address. There is Shendefuerde. There is happiness brought by the failure of others, which should not be tolerated and should not be encouraged and should not be passed to the next generation. Because if we are always there to stand behind each other, if children are making it in the community, we must all be happy. If they are not making it in the community, we must all be standing and do our job. The counselors must also be able to do their job. They should not just be announcers of statements through radios, but they should be practical leaders who motivate and also look for assistance for their community. So, from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you around, and sharp, sharp.